Now, with pleasure, we invite your attention to Brother Mike Hubbard as he presents to us Bartimaeus Project in India.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It is nice that you invited me here to talk about the work we do in India. I put my Indian suit on to try and set the flavour. We also got the Indian technology that doesn't work, so we had to replace it with the Canadian. So, Bartimaeus, the name of the organisation was chosen by Brother Thomas in Bangalore for the obvious reasons of the reading that we have. It's based in Bangalore in India, which is in the southern part of India. So this is Bangalore here in the middle, and there's a group of ecclesias round Bangalore. There's a group of ecclesias round Chennai, or used to be called Madras, and there's a group of ecclesias down here in Kerala. So the three ecclesias round Bangalore are within daily commuting distance. And so brethren go out to the ecclesias in the surrounding area, probably a 2-hour drive or perhaps a little more if you're going down to Mandya. We can go in the morning, give them the exhortation. And as last time I went there, I finished up, oh, you've come an hour early, you can give us a Bible class before the exhortation. And so you hastily use your exhortation and turn it into a Bible class, and while you're having 15 minutes worth of coffee, you suddenly grub around and find a new exhortation. Just as you're going to lunch, they say, oh, by the way, we're going to so-and-so's house at 3 o'clock and somebody else's house at 5 o'clock, and all their friends, relations, neighbours will all turn up, and you'll have probably an audience of at least a dozen in both houses. So have you got two lectures with you? So I go back to England for a rest after 6 months. The three ecclesias over in the Madras or Chennai area are the sort of place you would probably go on a Friday night and come back Monday and spend the day helping and supporting the ecclesias there. There are 11 ecclesias down in the Kerala area, and they are perhaps very much self-contained because they are separated from the other ecclesias by language. There are many languages in India, and all these ecclesias speak the language Malayalam. The others a mixture of Tamil and Telugu and various other languages, but this is a particularly self-contained group that exchange speakers amongst themselves. So here we go to Bangalore, and courtesy of Google Earth, we have a view from satellite. Now, the term layout in India is what you would probably call estate or the block. And so this particular block here is known as laser layout. The road is known as laser layout, and then there's cross streets and main streets in the estate. And there are two properties very close together, zooming in, that this one is number one laser layout and this is number four. Number four has been in Christadelphian hands for something like 25 years. It started with the meeting room on the ground floor, with the Christadelphian office in a side room, and a flat for visiting foreign brethren and sisters. They outgrew their meeting room, which was just the hall of a house, so they put a third story on the top, and the whole of the top story is now the meeting room. This last year, after having part of the garage of the meeting room and using a lower floor of brother and sister's house, we managed to get all of our Bartimaeus project in one property. And we've now rented number one laser layout. So this is number one here, two views of it. And Thomas was trained in 1997, 98, at a place called Divine Light in Bangalore. And then he worked for 5 years as part of a team in Hyderabad. This was an organization which was partly Christadelphian, and he gained 5 years of experience working as a member of the team. And after such, we helped him set up Bartimaeus in Bangalore in 2003. This was mainly done with the support of Brother Tim Galbraith of Hyderabad and myself. This is the Thomas family, Brother Thomas on the left, and Nirmala, his wife, is completely blind. So back even in 97, we were looking for a brother to do some work, and we says, what better brother can we find? One that's going to be heavily committed because he's got a blind wife. And as the story goes on, by about 2002, we were taking even Nirmala onto the staff, and she's become a valuable member. So even in 2000, little children, they've grown up as I know them. So this is the team that we have today, or part of it. 12th of January happened to be my birthday, and it was a convenient time that we took a posy-type photograph. So let's introduce you to the team. Sweetie and Benjamin, the two children, and Shazi. Shazi was one of our beneficiaries that joined us very first, I think, one in 2003. He came from a Christian Orthodox, Indian Orthodox background, and is a spin-off of the Syrian Orthodox. The Syrian missionaries went to India. And therefore, we don't have any problems with Shazi about whether we should have a crucifix at the front, because Syrian Orthodox have a seven-branch candlestick. So there is still the elements of, well, do they worship it as an idol or not? But Shazi has now been with us, and in 3 years has pretty well learned the truth and is now taking instructions shortly to be baptized. God willing. In November last year, after him being with us for training for 3 years, we took Shazi onto the staff, and he now does all the reports and does most of the teaching, and also does teaching of spoken English. Antu, at the left here. Martha is the secretary and manager of the Christadelphian office, and for many years Antu worked as a voluntary basis in the office for her, because Antu is Martha's mother. And so, as just a member of the ecclesia, then we got some young children, and we got one young lady helping to teach two blind children, and Antu worked for us for nearly 2 years as a volunteer. Because we were in the Christadelphian office, she got more involved with us. And so eventually we even took Antu onto the staff. Mary is probably the latest member to join the team, and she works as a sighted assistant in the computer room to support Shazi. Violet, we call her Anne's treasure. She lived across the road from the flat where we used to live, and she does the washing up. I wake up at about 7:45, and by 8 o'clock in comes Violet, and within about a quarter of an hour my breakfast's cooked, and she does all the cleaning. She cleans all our computer room, she does all the stairs, and she does all that between 8 and 1 o'clock and goes home. She's only a part-timer. Oh, she does all the laundry. She's Anne's little treasure. Florence, Veronica, and Reg. Reg and Veronica are a couple of English brethren and sisters that used to work in India over 20 years ago. They have not been to India until this year for that 20 years. And I think they worked for something like 7 or 8 years in the Bangalore area and in Kerala, and were the missionary couple that were the founding members, or helped to found, Bangalore Ecclesia something like 30 years ago. Now, Sister Veronica and also Sister Antu are the two widows of the two founder members of Bangalore Ecclesia 30 years ago. So they came back to India this year on a social visit to see two of their old friends that they hadn't seen for 20 years. They were not sure where they were going to stay. It just coincided that they were arriving 2 weeks after we, 2 weeks before we were about to leave. So he says, we can have the flat that we've been using. We're going off to England. So they accepted the flat as a base purely for social visits. But living on the premises, you can't just be social in the brotherhood. It wasn't long before they were up to here in the work that we were doing. And they're now back in England, and we've just been to see them and had an update of the work that they've done over the last 3 months since I left in February. It says they're the youngest, Vinod and Vanita. They are brother and sister, and this is one of the problems that we have in India. So often, people marry their first cousins, their nephews, and close relations. The whole issue of inheritance in India, if you want to keep the money in the family, you make sure you marry your daughter off to somebody who is a close relation. Do this once, it's not really a problem. But if it happens generation after generation, the number of disabilities that you find in the children increase, particularly blindness. This lady has three children. Two of them are blind. Vinod suffers from a condition known as elephantitis. He's got legs under those trousers that are almost tight. They're like a couple of elephant's legs. He's got a number of other disabilities. But on the other hand, Vanita is a very bright girl. Of evening, she teaches music, classical Indian music. And she spends the day with us learning computers. She's just finished her degree in music. And to do her report, she wanted to do word processing so she could hand in her assignments. And she now is a competent person on a computer. So our beneficiaries vary quite considerably. There's just a little selection of some of them working away in our computer room and working, reading Braille. We've made a lot of things in Braille, particularly the works of the truth. But when we opened our new centre on the 1st of November last year, that is an attempt at showing you a little bit of what it was like. It's a composite picture at the front. So we've got a lot of members of both the Ecclesia and our beneficiaries and other people that help our organisation. The room was full to overflowing. If your staff are going to deal with blindness, then they've really got to try and appreciate what is involved. And there's a typical example when Stella joined the staff, that Anne had the job of trying to get her to appreciate what it's like to help a blind person. You never pull a blind person. You never push a blind person. They feel they're going to go over the end. But if they hold your elbow, as you go down, your elbow goes down. If you hold their hand, your hand may not. But an elbow virtually has to go up and down with your body. And so if they know you're going up or down or left or right, they can follow an elbow. So to hold an elbow is the best way for guided work. You can get somebody and train them with a white cane, or other ways. Some of them are very conscious that they don't want people to know they're blind. Therefore, you walk in a similar position to that, and you never stop talking. You think I have a problem with that? Doesn't matter what you're talking about, just chat to them. Because they're listening to your voice to know exactly where you are so they can follow you. So these are different ways and different methods of teaching people mobility. Another way you can give people independence and some sort of self-respect is to get them back reading again. And Louis Braille invented the system in France. And if you'll all guess what the first book he ever published, a Bible. So not only is the standard letters of the alphabet used, but every letter consists of six dots. And for reference, they are given numbers. So if you have just dot one and 3, 4, 5, 6 are all blank, it is a letter A. 1 and 2 are B, 1 and 4 are C, and so on. Now, if you can think about it, we've got 26 letters in the alphabet. And 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 to the power of 6 is 64. So you've got the possibility of 64 characters. You've got some over. You can use them for punctuation, question marks, commas and so on, brackets. But you can also use them to make Braille more compressed. And we would use all six dots. And it means the word for. There's another formation that we would use for and. But we'd also have one for ing, so you can put a word and put the one character on the end and it turns it into that form. And there are all sorts of ways that you can track things. So you teach people Braille, first of all, very basic Braille, the 26 characters. Then you teach them the numbers and a few bits of punctuation, and that's known as grade 0 Braille. And you can work through grade 2, which is a little more complicated, and then the experienced person gets on to grade 2. If you're going to follow the daily readings in Braille, the speed that we just read slowly, you will find you will need grade 2 Braille, because the longer Braille, the hand will just not go fast enough across it. So this is where we aim to get people reading, and we do the readings on a daily basis and read around. And we do this by using a program learning course in 11 lessons known Fingerprint. You can do this two ways. You can either sit down on your own with the books and a tape recorder, and it gives you instructions of how to learn. Alternatively, you just use the books and a live instructor, which is more often what we do in India. To write Braille has progressed quite a lot over the years. If you want to take just little notes, you have a little board like this that you can see on there. And quite simply, with a stylus, you put it, and each of these holes has got six positions in the grid. You can have a look at this afterwards, so you can actually get them in a regimented fashion. There's only one catch with this. If you're pushing them in there like that, and you've got to learn all your Braille characters, when you come to take it out and read it from the other side, everything is mirror image. So if you know your Braille characters on here, and you're going to start writing like this, you're not only going to learn all your Braille characters, you've got to remember what the mirror images are, so you can press them in. But just to do little notes, people started with things like that and just moved down the page. Another way is to use a Braille board, A4 size, and you can go down a whole page. And there's an example of Shazi a few years ago doing that one. Then came along an instrument called the Stainsby. It's got six keys and a space bar, and you push all these keys down, and at least you're writing one letter at a time instead of one dot at a time. So it is six times faster. But boy, oh, does it make your wrists hurt. Since then, they've developed a typewriter, which actually works forward and you don't have to. But unfortunately, at the moment, I couldn't find a picture. There is one in the video that we have later. Then came along the high-tech age, the computer age. And quite simply, if you get an ordinary text file, Microsoft document or a TXT from Notebook, and run it through a special software, it turns all your characters into dots. You don't have to know anything about it. You hit the print button like you would on an ordinary computer, but with a special printer like this one, you finish up with a Braille document, about 30 seconds a page. I say you don't have to know anything. The first lot that I did, got the books in the wrong order because I couldn't even count. So that's the first thing I learned. And it also helps you getting the pages bound in the right order. In Bangalore, we have a slightly bigger one which works on single sheet instead of continuous paper. And it's a very noisy machine, so it's kept in an acoustic cabinet. Keeps the noise down, it does not eliminate it. So we've done the daily readings, we've done a number of the books that you've got on your literature stand outside. There's one here, which is Salvation by the Flints, and it comes out in 11 by 12 paper. So your little leaflet, 40 odd pages, you've got a book. A Bible, on the other hand, an ordinary Bible, comes out usually in 43 volumes. So when you do your daily readings, you've not only got to find the right page, you've got to first find the right book. Because there's a book of Genesis and a book of Exodus, and some of the epistles are grouped together, and there's actually 43 volumes. They were having a job to do the readings and turn up, give credit where it's due. One day Anne turned around and says, "Why do they have to have three volumes just to do the readings? Can't they just have one?" So we've made a Christadelphian Bible. Its first one was actually an NIV. But in this one, on the 1st of January copy, it starts with Genesis chapter 1. 1, followed by Psalm 1 and Matthew 1. And so as you go through, it comes in 52 volumes. You have one for the week's readings. You borrow it from the library. You do your readings for the week, take it back, and the next week you get the next one. And this, we've now got 3 NIVs and 2 authorised. But they're bound in that format to make it so much easier to do your daily readings. We started back in 2004 with 3 little computers. It was something that just sort of happened because we were teaching the Braille, we were teaching mobility, we were teaching domestic skills, how to make a cup of tea and all these sort of things to give blind people independence. And I'd taken a couple of IBM laptops, Pentium 1s, 1997 model, and I'd been taking them to India for a couple of years. And the Christadelphian office had just had a new machine and they'd thrown one of them out. We says, well, let's see what we can do with 3 computers. And we started trying to teach computing. How do you teach computing to a blind person? They can't see the screen. They can't see the cursor for the mouse, so throw the mouse out. What we have is special sound software. Every time you touch a key on an ordinary conventional keyboard, it gives you feedback. It tells you you've touched the A, the C, or whatever letter it is. If you're typing away and you make a mistake, you immediately know your mistake. You can do a backspace and retype. And if you want to then check the previous line that you've typed, all you do is push the up arrow, it goes up a line and it reads the whole line, so you can check what you've typed. There are certain control keys. You can either have it read the words or you can have it read them letter by letter so you can check the spelling of what has been done. But with that sort of sound software, these days, even a blind person can surf the internet. Would you like to work a computer with no monitor? You think about it. No mouse. And you can only get feedback. And we usually use a pair of headphones because if you've got a lot of people in one room, they can then listen to their own machine and not to all of them. Those of you who do word processing, you'll be aware that simple things like Control C is copy and Control V is paste. They are just a couple of about 400 control keys that you could use. They're all there in the menus. We can pull the menus around and learn them. They can't, they've got to commit them all to memory. So this is the way things go, but it gives them very much independence. First of all, you teach them to touch type, so they know where the keys are. And you go through the standard Pittman type exercises to teach them the keyboard. Then you move on to word processing, and eventually on to emails and surfing. But perhaps the last two may seem less important, but to an Indian are probably the most important because that's where they can earn real money. The time difference between America and Canada and India is absolutely vital. The doctors over this side of the world will walk round the hospitals with a digital recorder. They will record all the notes that they want about a patient. At the end of the day, they give their recorder to a technician in the hospital. And he emails the sound files through to India. A blind person can listen to sound files ever so easily and type up the medical database on the computer. And by the end of the day, he's done the doctor's work, maybe more than one. And the data file is emailed back to America. And when the doctor gets out of bed next morning, his medical notes are up to date for the day before. Because there is 12 hours difference, they can work the day shift while the doctor's sleeping. When he gets up in the morning, there's his notes ready. And because these data centres and call centres pay somewhere in the region of about twice the average wage in India, the blind person goes from the bottom of the heap to just a little above. He gets his self-respect, gets his independence, and can earn a wage instead of some sort of subsistence living doing basket work and hoping people want a fruit bowl or whatever it is. If they're going to go into the call centres and this, they need spoken English, and some of them, their English is poor. Shazi is somebody who has worked in the Gulf before he was blind, and his English is quite good. It's got a good English with an Indian accent, so he's even better at teaching English to the Indians than even I am, because it goes down and they can get their tongue round. We had some new laptops donated to us by a company called Cummings. You may be aware of it. They have branches, a head office in America in the States and branches here. They have a branch in Middlesbrough in England where, just very conveniently, the head of European sales happens to be a sister. And we get inside information from the company that when they were in India about to upgrade all their computers from Pentium 4s to dual cores, they were throwing away their Pentium 4s. And they said, well, we're working with Pentium 1s and Pentium 2s. Great. They offered us 6. Long story, we finished up with 24. So we've completely re-equipped our room this year with nice little laptops, and we had 18 laptops and 6 towers. So, donated by Cummings, and we very much appreciate. I haven't had much experience of them. They arrived, they promised last summer, and arrived 3 days before I left India. There was me, and don't forget, security, they've wiped the whole lot clean, no windows on them at all. Blank hard disk. So in 3 days, I got about 6 or 7 machines working, just by trying to load some Windows and word processors, and of course, the special software called JAWS. The Bible study and daily readings are an integral part, because we believe that if we can show our faith by giving the blind people some value, and that by our faith we care about them, then once we've taught them to read Braille, we give them something sensible to read, written by the brethren and sisters. And there's Brother Reg having some discussion with Brother Thomas, because when we're not there, it comes down to Thomas to do the comments on the readings and some instruction. He's good with his scripture, but he's not so good at presenting things together. So Bible class stroke mutual improvement class was going on there for Brother Thomas. Think about it. What leap is there in faith? The blind person has to see everything by faith. Everyday items. They know they're there, they can't see them. Are we that confident? God, they also know, is there. They can't see him. It's not a problem. It might be a problem to you and I. So I ask the question, can we see God as clearly as they see everything? It's quite a challenge to our faith. They haven't got the distraction of what they see about them. Think of Bartimaeus that we read about today. A blind person, we tell the family, you must help them. When they put their tea, coffee mug, drink mug down, it's no good washing it up and putting it anywhere, because they'll never find it. You must have a place and everything in its place. So the blind person knows where his mug is, can go and get it. What did Bartimaeus do when he heard Jesus was coming? Probably his most valuable possession, his coat. He threw it down and ran to Jesus. Is that the confidence that Bartimaeus had, that he wouldn't have to come back and fumble in the dark trying to find his coat? He had the confidence that when he wanted to pick his coat up, he'd be able to see it. Just little things in Scripture, you suddenly take on a new light. He had the faith, and he saw Jesus in his mind's eye. And he thought, got no problem picking up my coat. Don't want that hindering me. And he threw it off and ran to Jesus. Are we prepared to cast off the possessions of this world, if necessary, to get to Jesus? Our brother talking about the readings and the way we cumber ourselves up with the things of this life. Bartimaeus probably only had one thing to cumber himself up with. It was his coat. And he threw it off for Christ. What do we need to throw off? We need the support of workers in India. The organisation is growing. The more people that can come, even if they give us a few weeks, a few months, 6 months, whatever time you can afford, we would appreciate your support. If you can use a computer, it's a bonus, but not essential. If you're a whiz kid and rebuild them when they go wrong, even better. But basically, if you can type in a computer centre, you can help people to do things. But if you can't and you don't like computers, as the president said, then come on, come and help us. Help blind people to move about. Teach them mobility. Teach them to use a white cane. Teach them how to fill a cup of tea without scalding themselves. All these domestic tasks, we need people to help us. We have a flat available in there, and we're looking at other facilities in the future. If I can at this stage, we will try showing you the video, technology permitting. It's not my computer. Windows Media Player, please. Where is it in your program?
I don't know. I never use it.
You never use it. Oh, here it is. Windows Media Player. CD drive E. It says insert it. We put one in, didn't we?
Yeah, there's a couple of choices there. Let's go back.
OE drive, CD cancel. Drive E.
Cancel it and go back.
I think at this point we will perhaps finish the presentation, and if I can get the video going later, we will do. Continue. Oh, we've gone back to the beginning. Go to. This last year, we formed a new working party come subcommittee of Bartimaeus. We have a committee which has been there since 1997 in England, and we have the committee in Bangalore which consists of totally the Brethren and Sisters of Bangalore Ecclesia. But this year, we've started a new committee to coordinate various things. The fundraising committee is still the British committee, which also makes braille and large print for the First Principles Bible Study books. We made a large print hymn book, and when I say large, it's this large. And even the brother in Erdington meeting in Birmingham needs a magnifying glass to read that. He has macular degeneration. If you know of anybody who needs a hymn book like this, we can make them available. We simply put them in plastic pockets and then in a ring binder, so you can take four sheets out or three for Bible class, give them to the person who is visually impaired. They then sing their three and they're filed back in the folder at the end of the meeting, ready for the next day. We also do door signs. And if you're complying with the Disability Act, you're not only supposed to have wheelchair exit and a hearing loop, but for blind people's benefit, you should have a sign on your door which says ladies' toilet, gents' toilet, fire exit and things like that. We have a Dynotape gun for making these, and this is something I can offer you this evening. When I'm in the UK, I travel around with a stand with all the information on it, and it was a bit heavy to put it in the aeroplane. So large print hymn books are one of the things we do. We do the door signs, which I can provide. We use a Dynagun like this, but instead of the standard typeface, it's got a Braille typeface. So we can make any notice to fit anything. But then we also have made a third group, if you like, an international group. So we have now appointed four members of the Brotherhood to represent the four extra areas of the Brotherhood. And Brother James Prasad of Vancouver is our Canadian representative. We've done this for two reasons. We're going to keep a stock of Braille and various other equipment in each country, so if anybody needs it, there can be a quick delivery. But with airmail, this is not that much of a problem. The other part of it is finance. The other day, just before I left, I had a check sent to me by Washington Ecclesia for $100. It cost me $40 to cash the check. Now, if somebody sends me $50 or $40, I get nothing. So I ask, if you can support us financially, please send your money to Brother James. And then if he collects many donations together and sends them through to me, it might cost us $40. We're even looking at ways to try and save that. But if perhaps there's $50 from here and $100 from there and so on across Canada, if we can get perhaps $1,000 or $2,000 from Canada, it'll only cost us one bank charge for all your donations. So most of the money will go to where it is needed. So we're doing this both in the States, in Australia and New Zealand, through the support of our brethren and sisters around the world. So please, we'd love some financial support. With the new centre, a larger centre, more beneficiaries comes more expenditure. We need more workers. We also need more money. And we appeal to you to support us. Got time just about for the quarter of an hour video? Just about. If we can get it to go. If not, go back to my machine.
We're not going to do that.
So, I wonder if you've got that. Then we need to get into the CD. So, usually, alternate F. Just reload it. Open. So we need to change that to a CD. Now change this one. Oh, I can hear it hunting for it. So CD. Oh no, that's it. All right, okay. MPEG. Don't know why. All files. Thank you. Pardon?
Is it a film for blind people?
It's a film for blind people, yeah. It's playing on the laptop here.
Typing exercises.
Now you go to one stop and open one.
He can't hear me, he's got his headphones on. Rani, sorting some braille. Okay.
Call the meeting book in order.
Normally reading Braille and teaching to use the Braille board. We have a nice water fountain, and over here I'm trying to set up another machine. Over here, Norma is going to start teaching Braille. And you've got what there? Fingerprint Volume 1?
Yes. I'm going to see 10%.
Okay. Two.
Now, what happened? Thinking that he left class now, he left his machine.
Right.
The class now, machine.
All working away, practicing their typing. Well, when he started reading Braille, and Thomas is taking a class on the other computer.
Did you type in that? Earlier I explained that. basically, I got basically small graphical symbol. That is...
And we have moved from number 4 laser layout. Number 1. As you arrive at Bartimaeus, first of all we find Antu sitting at reception and Rani doing some work on a braille board. Storage is still a problem, and we have many racks full of braille. And Nirmala giving Vinod a lesson. They've not practiced. Well, we're gathered here at the beginning of our inauguration for Bartimaeus, with so many beneficiaries and friends from the Ecclesia that they can't all get in the room. Some of them are sitting out there. Today we have a number of visitors here in the computer room for the reading. Across the hall from the computer room is the flat with our sitting room and Anne working away on her telephone. Good morning, Anne. Computer room with room for expansion, machine for the internet, and our braille embosser with the machine to control it, and our old machines that we've brought from Tamahali on a nice long new table which has a room for another 3. We have bought power protection and have a problem of storing the batteries as they're so large to get them in the corner of the room. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters sitting on the front row waiting to receive the right hand of fellowship from the representatives of their ecclesias. There are boxes all over the place. 30 boxes which have got 24 computers. And I'm all out of puff carrying them across the room from the lorry. We have the new computers that have come from Cummings. We have 6 big desktops and a quantity of laptops. So we have enough machines for everybody, for a class to fill the whole room. And enough to lend one to the ACBM for the Sunday school work. We also wish to thank James Prasad for bringing the funds from Canada, and Carl Tucker and Brother Pat for the support in USA. I started correspondence course in 1997 for India, and Anne was my first pupil.
And since our marriage, India seems to have taken over Mike's life. We worked for 6 months in India and 6 months in the UK, and Mike has a tough job as chairman of fundraising.
We appeal to you all to support the work of Bartimaeus and the whole team so they may continue the Lord's work in his vineyard. Please remember us in your prayers.
And namaste from sunny India.
Something you can have another look, and those who were absent today, you can perhaps lend them it if they've got a computer. because our